In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the feast of the circumcision, one of the minor feasts of the Lord. And we celebrate this feast because the Lord in it completed the law and accepted to be circumcised, fulfilling what the law of Moses was requiring from every male 8 days in age. And circumcision in the Old Testament actually was a symbol of baptism in the New Testament. It's a sign of covenant. And unless the boy would be circumcised in the Old Testament, he cannot be counted among the children of God. And today we will be answering two questions. The first one is, why do we baptize infants? A lot of debate is between the apostolic churches and the other reformational churches about why we baptize infants. They say the infants are not believers. Why do you baptize them? This should not be carried on. Actually, we baptize the infants for four main reasons. The first one is because this is the Lord's teaching. He said this, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." So he made it very clear that he is requesting and expecting the children to come to him. And we should not be hindering them from coming to the Lord. In another occasion, we read in the Gospel of St. Luke, now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." So when we baptize infants, actually we are fulfilling the requirement or that commandment that the Lord said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, because to such belongs the kingdom of God." We also baptize infants because, as we notice today, that circumcision was performed in the 8th day after the birth of the male boy. So what this male boy understands, to come and become in a covenant with God through his circumcision, he understands nothing, but he comes to the temple to be circumcised only on the faith of his parents. And St. Paul actually, he linked baptism to circumcision in his epistle to the Colossians when he said, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism." It's very clear that baptism was what circumcision was pointing to. Then the people who say now we should not be baptizing the infants in 8 days while they are 40 days because they do not understand, maybe they have to say the same to the kids and boys who were circumcised when they are 8 days in age. Also, we baptize infants because this was the practice of the Church of the Apostles. We did not invent this. This was carried on during the time of our fathers, the apostles. We read in the book of Acts that Lydia, one of the people who were converted, she was converted by St. Paul preaching. We read that she was baptized with her household. If she was only baptized with her husband, they would say with her husband. With her household means all the people in her house, including even children. Also, the same applied on the Philippian jailer. We read that the same hour of the night, he was baptized with all his family. And St. Paul saying, "I did baptize also the household of Stephanus." All of these examples are telling us that people who were baptized in the book of Acts, they were baptized with their children. Nothing new here. The church were practicing this. So now we have mentioned three main reasons. First, this is the Lord's instruction and commandment. Secondly, the circumcision was performed on the 8th day, and circumcision was the symbol of baptism. Thirdly, this was the practice of the Church of the Apostles. Number four, this was the teaching of the Church of Fathers. When we have a debate with anyone, whom we should refer to? When we say, "No, I understand this way," and my brother from the Baptist Church says, "No, I understand this way," we should refer to someone. Someone should come in between us and tell us what is the right interpretation of the Bible. Otherwise, each one will have his own interpretation. St. John Chrysostom, in the year 380, when the church was one, was not divided among any denomination, we hear him saying, "You see how many are the benefits of baptism, and some think its heavenly grace consists only in the remission of sins. but we have enumerated 10 honors it bestows. For this reason, we baptize even infants. So St. John Chrysostom, the Patriarch of Constantinople, in the year 380, was baptizing infants. We did not invent this in the 20th century, or because we wanted to do this out of nothing. We have a reference, and this reference is supported biblically and supported also by the practice of the Church Fathers. And he said, this, why we baptize infants, though they are not defiled by personal sins, so that there may be given to them holiness, righteousness, adoption, inheritance, brotherhood with Christ, and that they may be his members. All of this, we cannot deny and ignore all of this, and we come now to a debate that we should not be baptizing infants, they don't understand. We can go into the debate forever. Let us go and see how the church understood the commandment, how they practiced what they believed. The second question that we are going to cover in today is, what is our responsibility towards our children? Saint Mary took her son, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and presented him to the temple. He was not in need of anything. Actually, he is the only perfect and holy one. We have four main responsibilities towards our children. And also our children should be heeding this, because they should not be thinking that they have no responsibility as well. If you want to prepare yourself to become a good father, a good mother, you should start this when you are a child. First of all, we are responsible to present them to the Lord. This is what Saint Mary did. She brought the child Jesus and presented him to the temple. We read that, now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. What is the meaning we present them to the Lord? At certain age, they have no control. We have control over them. So when actually we become negligent in bringing them to the church, we are doing them a great mischief. It's a great sin, my brethren. Because later on, when they are in the age where they have their own will to decide, they will say, I'm not going to go to the church. And usually parents come to the priest and say, Abuna, please help us. The kids do not want to come to the church. What did you do with them when they were children? How did you present them to the Lord? Did you ever think this way? When we do not present them in the Lord, in baptism, in prayers in our houses, how we expect that they might come by themselves? It is our responsibility when we have them under our authority to present them to the Lord. We should do this in the best of our ability. We should present them to the Lord in the church and in our houses as well. Who said that the Lord exists only in the church? He is also in our houses. How we present the church to our children? Do we speak good about the church before them? Do we speak good about the servants, the priesthood, the deacons? Or we mock and we ridicule them, and then after this we expect our children to love the church? How this will happen? How we expect them to maybe submit under instruction of the priest, while we ourselves, we do not do the same? If we cannot respect God before them, we do not obey him, why we should expect them to obey God and respect him? First of all, we should present them to the Lord, and we present the Lord to them. We present them to the church, and we present the church to them in the best way possible. Everything we say and we do will have its consequences later on. Secondly, we should teach them the scripture. Teach them the scripture, it's our responsibility. Yes, the church is responsible as well, but who said that the parents are exempted from their responsibility towards teaching their children the scripture? Who said that we have nothing to do with this? We just put them in the Sunday school. I did my part. What about you? What did you do with them in your house? What did you do when you were sitting all together? Was the scripture something that was brought to your attention? Did you speak about it? Did you mention God before him and said, let me tell you about the story in the Bible? Do we try to do this, or this is not even passing by our minds? And hear what St. Paul is saying to Timothy. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Since when Timothy was granted the knowledge of the scripture? Since childhood, and this made him wise. We struggle with our children to let them know what is right and what is wrong. We want them to be wise. Yes, knowledge they can acquire from school, but to be wise, this is a gift from God. How we struggle with them to teach them wisdom? It is through the scripture. There is no other way, my brethren. Don't try to say just by giving him like my personal understanding of things, he will be wise. Who said that we are wise ourselves? We should learn to teach them. So second responsibility, we should present the scripture to them, present them to the scripture. Number three, we should lead them in the right way. And to lead somebody, you have to do two more things. First of all, to listen yourself. Secondly, to do it. Thirdly, to lead. In the day of the consecration of the high priest in the Old Testament, this was the custom. What was doing the high priest, at that time Moses, he took from the blood of the burnt offering, from the sacrifice, and take from the blood and anoint the right lobe of the ear of Aaron, and his right thumb, and his right toe. What is the meaning of this? He is saying to him, you have to consecrate your ears to listen. You consecrate your hands to work, and then you consecrate your feet to lead. To lead our children, we have to do two things. First of all, to listen, to heed, to know what is going on, what God wants us to do. And then we have to do it ourselves so we can lead them. If we do not listen, if we do not do it, and then we come and say, come, my son, let me lead you. I'm sorry, we will lead them astray. We will lead them to any way. Don't think that leadership through the right way is something easy. It is not. We need to train them, as the scripture is saying. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train him when he's a child. Train means what? You practice with him, and you do it with perseverance, persistently. You do this thing every single day. You read the Bible with him. You stand and pray with him. It's very easy while you are sitting before the TV, watching the movie at the end of the night, to tell your child, go and wash your face and brush your teeth and pray and sleep. Why you don't do it with him? Why don't help him doing this? It's very easy to say. It's very hard to train somebody to do it with him in order that he will be familiar with the right way. We should lead them by training them in the right way. Number four, we should correct and discipline them. As we read in the book of Proverbs, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. We should correct and discipline them. Sometimes this responsibility now is forsaken totally. We do everything to our children except that we can correct them or discipline them. And we say they will be oppressed. They will have depression. They will hate us. They will hate the church. Who said that correcting a child and disciplining him in the right way, of course, that's what I mean. I'm not saying we humiliate them or we spank or like we hit them or make them feel bad. No, but we should correct them. Who should say that correcting or disciplining a child will lead him astray? We are responsible before God to correct and discipline our children as far as they are still under our authority. There will come a time when we cannot do anything, actually. We will not be able to discipline them because of their age. Then try this when they are children. If we lose this opportunity, there is no way they will correct it themselves. If you leave a child to the default is he will go astray. Let me tell you something. If you just leave a child with no teaching, you leave him as is, and you assume because he was raised in a house, a Christian, he will be a Christian boy or girl, you are deceived. The default is to go astray. This is what is the default for any child. Look now at high schools here around you, and you will see how the children, when they are left for themselves, how they do. The high school is like a place where all kinds of sins are permitted and allowed, and everybody is only thinking about immoralities and so on and so forth. That's all. So here it is our responsibility to teach and to lead and to correct them. All of this is bounded and tied and covered by love. If we do not love them, and we show this love not only by just I'm working for you, then I love you. We show this by all ways and means. There is no way we can lead our children to God. Today, the Feast of Circumcision, Saint Mary is giving us the example, presenting her child to the Lord. He was God himself, and she was keen to present him to the temple. How ought for all of us to do the same with our children? We are responsible before God for this, to present them to the Lord, to teach them the scriptures, to lead them in the right way, and to correct and to discipline them. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.